100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. No more excuses for poor audio quality. Nobody's listening anyway. Just kidding. You are. The topic this week was flies. We've got a lot of stories this week, so I'll just get right to it. First up, we have Thomas of Fifth Coffee. Yeah, that's right. I'm drinking coffee. I've already had a cup. And I still have Bailey's left over from Christmas. Ah, yeah. I gotta make it last. Not that I could go to the store and pick it up myself, but still. I mean, Christmas Baileys taste so much better than regular Baileys, even if you get it off the shelf, the same shelf from the same store. It's different. I should probably just play Thomas's stories now.
Flies, flies, flies. Buzzing, unremitting, everywhere. Covering our bodies, thick on our foreheads and cheeks, sucking up the sweat with their sponge-like mouthparts, eating the soil on our bodies, vomiting on the crumbs of food found on us, leaving a micro-swill of human and animal waste in their path. We had been on the big field for hours with no water or food. We kept getting pushed and driven by our tough, androgynous, tyrannical leader. We were knocked down and pummeled. Eventually, the coach called showers, and the girls' middle school soccer team tryouts closed for the day. Tad's dad tied fishing flies for relaxation. His most exquisitely tied flies were the soft hackles and spiders, the midge selection, and the traditional wets. We knew that Tad's father was committed and often went to extremes to gather materials for his hobby. He liberated all the spools of dental floss in the house, collected squirrel tails, deer hair, pheasant tail, mallard flank, rooster necks, and moose body hair from live animals. We had to put a stop to it. He was out of control. His wife was troubled when he snipped some of her red curls as she dozed.
Thank you, Thomas. Now I know to be very careful about my hair, what little of it there is left. Next up, we have William Davis Kenmore Swipe. And there's a few titles in there. I keep getting them mixed up. Let's just say Reverend, Doctor, there were a few others in there. Just all sorts of ones. Just assume that he's got a degree in it at this point. So please, William Davis Kenmore Swipe, take the microphone.
Her mother and father didn't suspect, but Hannah Reich was a aviatrix. She kept it a secret from her family and her church pastor. In 1941, Adolf Hitler gave this fearless and skilled Luftwaffe captain the first Iron Cross awarded to a woman for testing a device designed to cut the lines holding barrage balloons. Hannah, standing only 4'7" and weighing 322 pounds, had to fly in a custom cockpit. And her plane's design was such that a limited amount of fuel was carried in the big Fokker as she landed near Hitler's bunker, carrying a general to a meeting.
Damn, she sounds like one hell of a... Whew! Sure she wasn't a tank? Oh, sorry. Thank you, William. And, right. Next up we have Guard 13007... He didn't record his own story, and, well, yeah, I'll go ahead and read it. I sit down at my computer to write, but amazing how beautiful a thing it is Distractions here, distractions there. I'm stuck at 20% and I miss another week. It's time for a new plan. A few weeks later, I'm standing over a shallow grave, surrounded by flies. He'll never shovel such a deadline on me again. I shovel dirt on Lawrence Simon, cursing him for shoveling away my ability to think of good stories and shoveling the word shovel into my mind. I go home and wait for a new episode. Wait and wait. But it never comes. You see, this is why, folks, I know you really, I say I'll have someone record it for you, but sometimes it just doesn't make sense if I record it and then I don't want the midget to do it. And I swear I'm dancing on the edge of a sword. Thank you, guard. I'm dancing on the edge of a shovel. Sip more coffee. Let's move on to Colonel Terrence Wastemoreland? Okay. I think folks are having a little bit of fun. All right, Colonel Terrence, let's get right to it. Tell us a story.
He was told that his idea flies in the face of everything known about matter and energy. He believed that the particle he isolated would shrink to a point where its density was such that it would weigh so much that it would sink through the earth, overcome gravity on the other side of the world, and continue on, ad infinitum, to the edge of the universe, where it would enter a parallel universe. He listened carefully to what his professor said during his doctoral orals, pondered a moment, and said, "Oh, sorry. You're probably right." He left the meeting, crushed.
You know, every time I go to a meeting, I wind up crushed. Crushed and then sprinkled over sundaes. Oh, thank you, Colonel Terrence. What? Oh, okay. Next up we have Pam, yet another person who didn't record their story. But that's okay. I can read it. I'll go ahead and read it. I missed the midget, you know. He was so good to me. No, he wasn't. Here's Pam's story. The light shone on a tiny blob of clay. A booming voice announced, "Begin!" Their eyes shall have thousands of lenses, yet see little detail. Their eyes shall have full 360-degree peripheral vision. They shall feed on decaying flesh. They shall be a food source for amphibians, birds, and arachnids. They shall carry hundreds of diseases. Their larvae shall be able to heal wounds. They shall live for less than 30 days. They shall lay thousands of eggs in a lifetime. They shall have stingers. Silence ensued. Counter! Nothing, sir. Strike the stinger and send the flies to production. Next. I've never been very good at doing the voice of God. Or I'm assuming that's God, not some crazy scientist. Probably a crazy scientist God, perhaps. Aren't they all? Thank you, Pam. Next up, we have Muncie. Now, last week, I know I said that you should substitute the word Muncie in for ordinary words, but like Aladdin from The Dictator, not like the Smurfs. Some of you got that wrong and started acting like the Smurfs. Well, I grabbed five of you, ground you up, made you into a potion, and now I'm going to live forever. So, meh. As I watch you die over the years, over the many years, I will laugh, and I will remember the story by Muncie as the beginning of my eternal... Well, I won't eternally rule. I mean, just because you live forever doesn't mean you end up ruling. Maybe you wind up, you know, oh God, I'm stuck in this fucking job forever. All right, here's Muncie's story.
Greetings, story fans and sentient robots interested in learning about human creativity. Munzee here, broadcasting once again from the Podopod, immersed in fresh amniotic fluid, with a story to tell you. In the Aftermath, by Chris Monroe. HR sent somebody by earlier this week to quell office discontent. Davidson? Donaldson? Something like that. We keep his severed head on a stick now. We put it there to send a message. We're no longer an accounts receivable department worried about layoffs. We're animals. Naked. Filthy. Claiming the sixth floor as our own. Refusing to be moved. If they send another beast, we'll kill it. We'll smash its head. We'll spill its blood. And I sit among my tribe upon a throne that once was an office chair, surveying my people like a monarch, the lord of the files. Flash fiction at munzeestories.blogspot.com, tweets at munzeemunzee. I hope that you've enjoyed this week's story, and remember, change the amniotic fluid in your pod regularly. If you don't, it gets pretty rank.
Ew! By the way, how do you dispose of amniotic fluid in which you float? What is it, a biohazard? Chemical hazard? Or I hope you don't put it in the coffee machine. Oh, God. Ooh, I could use some coffee. Just the right amount of stem cells. Ooh, thank you, Muncie. And Muncie, you Muncie. And I just... Okay, I give up. Next up, we have Serendipity Haven, who did the SL9B writing thing, in which I didn't add anything, because I barely write my one story a day now. I don't know why. I'm like... I'm struggling. Struggling, man. Thrashing around. Even though I'm 18... No, wait. 18 months ahead of the game, I just wrote a story for January 1st, 2014. And yet, I feel like I'm struggling. I'm not seeing that other world, that imaginary world in which we're looking through this world, trying to peer into it. It glimmers. It flashes. And yet, it eludes us. Maybe I should just go for my walk now and let this rot for a bit. Well, no, that would be mean to Serendipity. I need to read her story, since she doesn't record. So, here's her story. Thank goodness for poetic license, I say. If language were purely descriptive, the world would be a very strange place. Take flies. Consider if house flies really were great flying buzzing apartments, or fruit flies took the form of bananas and peaches. Very messy for swatting. Imagine horseflies cantering through the summer skies. Best watch out for fallout. Of course, damselflies would be lovely. All flaxen hair and diaphanous gowns, all very demure and pretty. But then again, just imagine the enormous hassle of having to constantly rescue them from gigantic, scaly, fire-breathing dragonflies. Thank you, Serendipity, and hopefully, you probably heard where I got hung up on the words and tried to recover, and should I have done another take? No, I'm not going to do another take. Edit them together? Okay, that's crazy. Just, maybe I should. No, I won't go back. I'm not going back. I refuse to go back. But what I will do is move forward. How about a story from Tom, including updates? Oh, I know you've been just jumping up and down, waiting for a bunch of numbers and finding out who gets the next golden monkey. Wait no longer.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. First, one-third of the top 50 authors are active, and 50% of the top 20. Movement. Logan Berry enters the 50 at 50. Serendipity Haven moves past Brad into the 47th place. Both Lizzie and Cliff enter the top 40 at 39, tied with Rael and Chris of Platypus Society. Red Goddess moves into the 34th position, tied with AM Early, Eva Moon, and Ashley. Bonchamps enters the top 30, tied with Lisa of Lemons and Lollipops. Tura enters the top 20 with 34 stories in a row. Chris Monroe enters the lair of the Golden Monkeys, passing Andrew Ian Dodge with 44 stories in a row. Thomas passes Ellison into the 12th position. Zachman is just two stories shy of passing TJ with 152. Phil is just five stories from double hundreds. And Planet Z is nine stories shy from the second longest run of stories in a row. Story average an amazing 11.75. Total number of authors, 332. Total stories, 3,794. We just passed the 2 millionth character count. And tonight's story is Boys Will Be Boys.
Welcome to the 60th annual Lord of the Flies Island Iron Man. You will note significant rule changes to limit our mortality rate. Last year proved a bit lively, and our designated piggy, Norman Bacon, may he rest in peace, succumbed to a spear to the temple. Spear blows are now restricted to arms and legs. The board has decided to retire our beloved Beelzebub. After 20 years of service, the smell from the old sow was inducing projectile vomit, which placed our ESPN contract in jeopardy. Are we ready, Jack? Ralph, sound the conch. Oh no, he dropped it.
Thank you, Tom, not only for that story, but also those fine, fine updates. A fine set of updates, most fine, that... I should stop saying fine. All right, hold on. Guy, and that, and paste. See, I'm adding the stories to the show notes as I record this. You know, copy, paste. They go into the folder in Thunderbird, and then I pull down the audio files, what few audio files people send. And then I've got a template, rearrange the links in the top of it based on the order of stories that come in, and then I update my little note card that I post up on Google Plus and everywhere. And it's all down to a routine, which I screw up every week. Someone who doesn't screw up every week, though, is Guy David. He's solid, he's reliable, and he's nutritional, as this story is, which I believe will satisfy all your nutritional and metabolic needs.
The Birds, a 100-word story by Guy David. At first, Hitchcock thought about using flies. He worked laboriously for months with a fly trainer before ruling that out. Then he thought about using cats. The cats had other ideas, and putting them on telephone poles proved to be a near impossibility. Their inability to fly was also a problem, so he turned his mind to bats. It worked well at first, until daytime came and the bats decided it was time to go to sleep. He went for a long walk, which ended with a bird staining his best vest with bird poop. The rest is history.
Oh no, Tippi Hedren is gonna get pooped on. Oh, just thank you, Guy David. And, bird poop, oh man. Last week, coming home from the pharmacy. I had, well, you know what happened last week, the camera and the up the, so you have to clear some stuff and drink a nasty fluid to accomplish that. So I picked that up from the pharmacy and a bird pooped on me on the way home. I was so tempted to shoot that bird, and instead, you know, I could have gone to the pet store and grabbed a bird, and I will exact my revenge on your species. And then release it so the cats could eat. The cats are both on the bed, by the way. They are just so cute. Right, what was I saying? Oh, right, Lizzie Goodcough. Here comes Lizzie's story, and oh, you're so sweet. No, I'm not going to share that. But you're so sweet. No. Maybe. Here, let me just play her story.
Aim, target locked, shoot, swoosh, and again. The whole afternoon, the damn tennis ball flew left and right. It was driving the neighbor crazy. Knock, knock. Yes? Can you knock it off in there? I'm killing flies. I don't care, just stop it. Swoosh. Just stop it. Swoosh. Stop the goddamn ball throwing. Silence. The door slid open slowly. Here comes a ball, the neighbor thought. But I'm ready. He focused. A huge fly came through the door. Swoosh! The fly went in the neighbor's mouth. The ball hit his forehead, and the door slammed on his nose. And shut. All right, this is my story for the week. And drop by my blog, if you like, at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Yes. Killing flies. Oh, yes. How many of you people have killed a fly during the playing of this podcast? 1, 2, 50? Cool. Thank you, Lizzie Goodcough. Next up, we have Logan Berry, who never records their stories, so sure enough. Yes, I'm getting a workout today. Without getting a workout, I really need to go for my walk. I should probably look at the weather radar here. Hold on, maps.cron.com. No, wait, weather.cron.com. There we go. And it's coming up, and local rain 40%. Oh, crap. Loop images, and here. No, it's going straight up. It's going north, but I'd better hurry up. All right, so here's Logan's story. Garrett stands completely still as they set the wire on his chest, and he speaks in a normal, steady tone when asked to, in order to test the microphone and reception. Test, test, test. He holds out his arms accordingly as the heavy mesh vest is slipped over his torso. He knows he will not survive. He knows it in his heart and in his soul and toes. Carol will never believe he has returned of his free will. It simply flies in the face of their history, their shared memories of the betrayal and of the lives needlessly lost. He buttons up his shirt slowly and with concentration, nods to them without meeting their eyes, and leaves. Tom hasn't done a count of the characters we've killed off, although the number of times that the planet has been blown up and destroyed and human race wiped out, that would be a really, really, really big number. Thank you, Logan Berry. And then I skip the one that I wrote because we move on to the next. And, oh, it's Cliff, Uncle Monster. And yes, next topic is what he decided. I had no choice. And if he had picked no topic, the podcast would have ended. Should I do that with someone else this week? Should I say, this person will pick the topic? And then they don't show up and then it's over? It's like Russian roulette, really. You have the fate of the podcast in our hands. Right, here's the story.
Flies, by Clifford Lowe. I was a stupid kid. When I was cross with my cousin for not letting me ride his bike, my grandmother admonished me. You catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. I tested her theory. Outside, I laid out a bowl of vinegar and a bowl of honey. A few flies landed on both bowls, but neither seemed to have any drawing power. I did notice lots of flies in the pasture where Grandpa kept a bowl. Hey, Grandma, you know what really draws flies? Then I told her. I got my mouth washed out with soap. See? Stupid.
You're not stupid at all. I tested that, too. They didn't think I was a budding scientist. They thought I was... I wonder how many more children suffered that way. Right. Thank you, Cliff. Next up, we have Steven the Nuclear Man. He's out at a convention, just hobnobbing it up and living it up. And I hope some of you all sent in some appeals to get Chris the Nuclear Kid writing and recording again. But if he doesn't, we will track him down and drag him back. I think that was a little forward of me. So he didn't have time to record this one, so sure enough, I've got to record this one. Man, there have been a lot of ones I've had to record this week. The zombies stopped moaning, she said, her back pressed against the doorframe. Just stopped. I rose from the couch, checking her for wounds, for bites. The vocal cords probably rotted away. She swatted my hand away. I don't care why. One almost got me because I didn't hear it. I held her, whispering reassuring words into her hair. We've survived this long. You can make it through this. We will find a way. I realized what I'd heard too late. That buzzing sound, growing louder, were swarms of flies drawing closer. Swarms of flies, feasting on rotting zombie flesh. Thank you, Steven the Nuclear Man. And hopefully at the convention you said 100-word stories so many times that we are inundated, flooded with news stories. Oh, I don't want new listeners. I want new participants. I want all those juicy brains working on stories. And then I could eat them and... Oh. What are those flies doing? Thank you, Steven the Nuclear Man. Right. Two more stories I need to read from Dionysius Close. All right. So how am I going to do this? Whew, man, I've read a lot. Get ready and go. Flies in a Bottle by Dionysius Close. I found this note in a stoppered bottle along the coast of Malaysia. It's been 300 days since I last saw Marie, and 200 here. I will never see home, or her again, our son at her breast. If you find this, think of the fate that destroys lives and this haphazard... Where was it from? Where was it written? I couldn't tell. I returned to my own Maria. It was 9 months later, our child due, when I discovered these marks at the bottom of the page and remembered the flies.
This does escape no flies is unlucky.
Damn, that's creepy. Oh well, here's one that's going to brighten your day. Flies by Dionysius Close. It was either flies or piles of crap everywhere forever. Of course, at first nobody had a problem with piles of crap, since everywhere was pretty big. It was Michael came up with the idea of recycling. When I first heard the idea, he was calling it eternal life. Then everybody started throwing in this, that, and the other. Someone called that brainstorming, and it got really confused really fast. chaotic because it was never clear what was supposed to be recycled or eternal or whatever it was supposed to be. Anywho, we ended up calling them flies. Thank you, Dionysus. Isn't it cool how some people see it flies as little zzzz things, and other people see it as flies as flying around, and others are flies in the face of, you know, a figurative use of flies? I like it when words have multiple meanings and they're chosen as a topic and seeing what people come up with. Maybe we should try to focus on those kind of topics. Those are the ones I like to pick, if you've noticed. Well, every now and then I don't like to pick and I make a pick two or a pick your favorite or do them all or do as many as you want or don't do anyone or don't write about this topic. That could be interesting. Next one could be a don't write about the topic of elephants. One story that I know that will be about Wow. Oh, too many pistachios. You can't eat just one pistachio. No, you can't. Because the pistachio that you eat has the cure for the poison in the previous one, but has its own poison. Didn't you know that? I knew that. I'm sharing it with you right now. Call the CDC. Before you call the CDC, listen to this story by Severina Halostar and Bonchance Longfall. By the way, Bonchance is without electricity for at least 3 days, so let's send all of our electricity to him. I'll give you the address in a bit. Here's their stories. Pablo fell awkwardly into his comfortable bed. It was adorned with gold stars. He suspected that the liquid called scotch might be a big part of his new pal's skit. He just realized Clumsy was always slipping from his flask full of scotch. Pablo finished lapping up some water laced with the golden liquid. Words swarmed in his head as he drifted off to sleep, listening as Clumsy the clown waxed philosophically about audience responses and how they sometimes fly in the face of logic. Pablo had nightmares that night. He was terrorized by evil flies buzzing around his face. No, no, not evil flies. I want good flies buzzing around my face. Nice and good flies. How can you tell the difference? I don't know. Thank you. Thank you, Sevi, for getting Bonchance's story. And it makes me wonder about the good and evil nature of flies. How many of you people are wondering that? I know someone who is, Zach Mann, who also didn't record. Is this some sort of boycott? Are you people just not recording just to make me read? I will get even with you all. Oh, right. Here's Zach Mann's story. Sure, I have a biplane replica that I can rent you, and you can even hire me to pilot it. But why? Asked Manager John. Because I heard Canada is a great place for fly fishing and catch a lot of flies, replied Charlie. You mean you want to use artificial flies to catch fish, right? Said John. No, my uncle was so proud to have killed a lion back in the day, and I read it in a nature magazine that flies and mosquitoes were so much more dangerous than any other animals that I wanted to show him up. Thank you, Zach Mann. How is it that when I record, I wind up trying to affect the mannerisms that, well, if they've never recorded, how do I, does that mean that when I read something of someone that's never recorded, is that what I imagine them reading like? Strange. Oh, right. Speaking of strange, how about one from Danny Dwyer, who actually recorded his story for... Yeah, he did. Yeah, you guys should take that as a hint.
Hello, hello! Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 323 flies. Honestly, crap, I don't know what this story I'm about to write has to do with flies, other than it, you know, it seems to include the word flies in it, but I seem to be more obsessed about something else, and I wonder what I'm obsessed about. Let's find out. Weekly Challenge 323, Flies. I just finished reading Lord of the Flies. Then I realized the convoluted story I'm about to weave here has nothing to do with that book. Have you ever noticed that flies have the cutest little feet? Like this one little fly I've had a crush on since I was in grammar school. She sprained her cute little ankle falling off an apple tree. She could not walk, so I gave her a foot massage. The light returned back to her soul, and she sprang back to life. I do not want to spend another day in this life without her.
Dude, you're in love with a fly. You're in love with a fly. What is your secret? What is your secret? How did you find her? Where? How do you make it work? Tell me. Tell me. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Danny. I'm going to edit that out. Next up, we have Red Goddess. Oh, good. Thank goodness that she didn't record her story. I've been wanting to read all day. It drives me mad. Mad, I tell you. You do that on purpose, don't you? I'm going to check the spam filter to see. I didn't see a story by Tura this week. Maybe Tura's off with TJ plotting against us all. Or maybe they've gone over to the side of Norm Sherman. I don't know. Maybe they're writing something really big and they're going to put it over to that escape pod place. My paranoid mind reels and wheels and... Oh, right. Here's the story about Lola by Red Goddess. Lola wakes up, soaking in sweat from a mind-blowing dream. She sits in the dark with a slight smile, flashing back to what she has experienced. After her mystery date, she walks through a hidden door. Lola is standing in a VIP suite, furnished with a massage table and a king bed covered in peach petals. On the bed lays a gift box with a purple bow. A round table facing the water view is set with a glass of red wine and a platter of chocolate-covered raspberry. Suddenly, a dove flies through the room and perches itself on Lola's shoulder. Ah, what a beautiful scene! I want to draw that. I want to draw that on the wall. A very large wall. The wall of China. The Berlin Wall. Any wall. Wall Street. The wall of Wall Street. No, that wall doesn't exist anymore. Any wall, really. The wall with all the gum on it in Seattle. I will draw it in gum. So, what? What the hell am I talking about? Sorry about that, Red Goddess, and thank you. And I am so jealous of you, because you had Brokeley, Relish, John, all those names, all those many, many names. You had him reading your stories. Nobody ever reads my stories to me unless I ask. He did this out of the goodness of his heart, and all of you out there. Hundreds and hundreds of stories. One day I will have my moment. I will know. I will know. Until then, let's have a story from Norval Joe. Aw, crap, it's raining. That's what I get for waking up late. It's going to rain. Ooh, that would be a good topic for next week.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of HorrorAddicts.net. Can you imagine? I entered a short story in the Masters of the Macabre competition, It's about curses. I got to do the curse of the lottery. It came live today, so if you need something to do, go to horroraddicts.net and download it and listen to it and vote for me, of course, or whoever you think did the best. Anyway, here's my story. The company had traveled more than 200 yards underground, though it had taken only a handful of minutes to get from the farmer's basement to the safety of the woods. Each split second spent passing through the solid earth felt like an eternity. The demons still swarmed around the farmer's house like flies on a dead dog. "We must hurry," the ranger said. "Those creatures will be distracted until they find we're no longer in the house." "What shall we do with the farmer?" Owen asked. "Bring him," Sharika said. "Leaving him to the demons would be ungracious." Well, after I wrote my Owen's Quest 100-word story, I had another thought that just kept hanging out in my head, so here goes my second story for this prompt. The dining flies over the picnic table snapped in a sudden gust of wind. The adult scout leaders snoozed in their tents, unaware the campsite was empty. Time flies when you're old. When you're just a boy, your lifetime seems limitless, your body immortal. The boys lined up under the starlit sky at the edge of the cliff, their backs to the wind. The quartermaster held a flashlight on his stopwatch. The senior patrol leader called, "On your mark, get set, go." When the last boy called, "Done," he was declared the winner, and they all zipped up their flies. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Elmo loves baby winter dogs, and you!
Okay, No, we're not going into the wiener dog thing. No! We're not going there again. You can't make me go there! Oh, thank you, Norval Joe. Now, a lot of people have been sending in 2, 3, 20 stories, and it's like, is it okay? Is it alright? Answer, yes. It's alright. It's okay, man. It's alright. If the fancy strikes you, then let the fancy strike you. Buffet you even. Bludgeon you. Cudgel you. Whatever you want to share. And if you want to, you know, you write one here, you write one there. And it's cool. It's great. I know that Norval Joe met Emmer and Rich recently of HorrorX. Like, oh my God, you actually, it'd be kind of creepy. But still, oh my God, and all that. And yeah, that's cool because then you do stuff over there. You write other stuff. You eventually write a novel. You get famous. And then when I ask for you to sign it, you go, "Who are you?" Just... Oh, right. One more story by, I know, Planet Z. One of these days I'll write something for Sunday. But until then, you gotta deal with this.
My daughter reads her joke book aloud. What has four wheels and flies? A garbage truck, I say. She laughs. What's black and white and red all over? A newspaper, I say. She doesn't laugh. It's a homonym. Red, spelled differently, sounds similar. She nods, and my wife takes the joke book from her. You need to get ready for school, looking at me. And you're late for work. I kiss her on the cheek, put on my gloves, and walk out the door. Ned's parked the garbage truck on the curb. We gotta fly, says Ned. I laugh.
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about flies. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You know the URL. You know it. You know it, and you're going to it right now. Because when you go to podcasting.isfullofcrap.com, you will see links to the authors' websites, the text of their stories, an archive of shows, social media sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. I mean, it's Sunday, and it's Canada Day. In Canada, it's like, hey, yo, that's good. Until next week, where the topic will be rain. This is Lawrence Simon, saying thank you for listening. And, as always, keep it brief.